You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Nationalist. This is Matthew Raphael Johnson, and this is being recorded in the afternoon of July 17th, 2024. And it seems that it's incumbent on me to say a few things about what is the fifth assassination attempt against Donald Trump, which occurred not very far from me. And it occurred in Butler, a town that I know pretty well. So there's been at least four or five since 2016 attempts on his life. And they seem to have been forgotten. I say sort of, because there was one in Nevada that really wasn't one, but at the time, people thought it was. But it didn't get the attention. None of them got the attention that this one has. Partially because he wasn't harmed. Some of them are crazy. And of course to avoid any kind of sympathy. Now, on June 22nd of 2016, The Independent, the British newspaper, commented that the number one trending question related to Donald Trump on Google right now was who tried to shoot him, suggesting that people don't know the answer. And it hasn't been covered, was not covered as a major news story. This was the case of Stephen Sanford. He was a British citizen. His visa had expired. He was only 20. And he tried to pull a gun from the holster of a police officer at a Trump rally. And that was in Vegas. After that, this is in September of 2017, and this is one of the crazier ones, in North Dakota. Gregory Langang stole a forklift from an oil refinery there and attempted to drive to the presidential motorcade. But very much what happened to Dwight Schrute in the office, the forklift became jammed in something. He ran away, he was arrested, and in jail he said that his intent was to murder the president, who was president at the time, by flipping the presidential limousine with the forklift. They didn't think that he was trying to hurt anybody. He just took it for fun. Because it was very unclear how flipping the limo would kill anyone. And there's two more, and I treat them together because they both concern poison. 2018, October 1st, an envelope laced with ricin, which is a slow-acting poison, extremely deadly, was sent to Trump before being uncovered by the post office. He sent a bunch to the Pentagon, too. And he was a former Navy guy, Navy sailor, William Allen, who, strangely, was arrested with one count of mailing a threat against the president, and then more because of the Pentagon, threats against an officer of the United States government. He was not charged with attempted murder, although that's the only reason you could possibly want ricin. There was another ricin event in September of 2020. A woman named Pascal Ferrier was trying to flee to Canada. That's where she was arrested in Buffalo. She was a Canadian citizen, and she wrote a very nasty letter to Trump laced with ricin. Called him an ugly tyrant clown. So prior to this one, you had at least four. This is the fifth, but this was an open air shooting But and of course, you know, even the bullet was captured on film. Now, I'm telling you, you know, one of the things that happens after an event like this is, especially early on, is that people get very excited. And because it's kind of a shock to the system, they start saying things that just aren't true. It's doubtful that by itself, this assassination attempt guarantees Trump the election or anything else. I have friends who are saying that this was a scam to guarantee him the election in order to start a war with Iran. But this would have nothing to do with that at all. The boost he got, if he got it at all, was from the debate in quotes. Trying to install Biden in office after that would raise too many eyebrows. Now, of course, all that implies that they won't replace him in Chicago. And I have a gut feeling, I'm not saying anything one way or the other, I have a feeling that that's the agenda right now. To get someone like Michelle Obama, the fraud would then be possible. In that case, it's very difficult after the debate for Biden. You know, fraud would be detected if Biden was installed after those debates. Not that he was ever particularly popular in his own party, let alone the population as a whole. But there was nothing, even if this was the first, it's very predictable. No doubt in my mind that the event was organized by elite forces. Assuming that Biden is not replaced, this would really be the only way to keep Donald Trump from winning. It was a coup, more or less. But you know, even the head of the Ukrainian military intelligence says that there's been attempts to kill Putin. We have the attempt against Robert Fico in Eastern Europe, who in Slovakia, who opposed the junta in Kiev. Donald Trump is critical of Zelensky. And anyone who makes war on the unipolar liberal model is subject to endless demonization, lawfare, and everything else, and then physical elimination. The attempts that I mentioned above they're kind of, you know, very ham-handed, but they were certainly murder attempts. Some of you may have heard that the regime is trying to blame Iran for this. They use all the same cliches, you know, intelligence information. Bunch of Republicans are throwing this around. Anyone who believes that is an absolute moron. It's allegedly a revenge for the Soleimani murder that at least in the Trump administration occurred. But there have been murders constantly of Iranian figures. But this one was a little different. There's no way it could have been something to garner sympathy, because that wouldn't do that anyway. I've never heard of an attempted assassination putting someone in office. That's not necessarily going to change anybody's mind. And the only reason he's alive is that he turned his head slightly. It was, you know, Biden's people who said, I think the quote is, freedom is above democracy. Now, that's democracy defined in a different way than they normally do. That if someone they don't like is elected, then suspending laws is normal for them. Remember, at the lockdown, I made the point that nowhere in emergency legislation at the state or federal level, nowhere in that legislation does it give the government the power to do what they did, shutting down the entire economy. I read the emergency powers legislation, both in my own state as well as the federal government, and it says nothing like that. So they were just inventing laws at the time. You know, liberalism is a totalitarian ideology, as you see just from the behavior of the regime now. Killing undesirable politicians is pretty normal for these people. So in my opinion, there's a connection between the disastrous debate performance and the attempted murder of Trump. Now, these forces, the regime, doesn't necessarily have to all be on board for this. Just like anything else, the regime has factions, and maybe the old guard of the regime may be upset by this. This was not the way to handle this situation. The attempts to kill him prior to this were, you know, Bush League at best, especially the, I mean, the Rixon one is different, but the, I remember making fun of the forklift one at the time, as if the presidential limousine is defenseless against stuff like this. But people, now I read Alexander Dugin on this, the assassination attempt, and he tends to overstate, especially in foreign policy, the difference between Donald Trump and the people who control Joe Biden. I guess rhetorically, Trump could represent the multipolar idea, except when it comes to Israel, of course. And of course, Biden's faction, the BlackRock faction, is precisely the opposite. Globalism doesn't care about the U.S. It doesn't care about anyone else except their own corporate power. Planetary power is what they seek. But Trump has said many times that he's opposed to this model of government. Putin is, Xi is, Modi is, Orban, Fico, Marine Le Pen, and AFD. But the multipolar world is, as Dugin says, a system of sovereignties. And globalization, and BlackRock, its sole planetary power. And this is slipping away from them. As I've been reporting, since the start of the Putin era, and they are frantically clinging to it. I've said many times, many others have said, that when you back an animal, especially a wounded animal, into a corner, what it's going to do is going to be extremely violent. This isn't a series of coincidences here. We all know that Trump has long feared assassination by the globalists. Now, Putin's security team is infinitely superior to anything, despite anything the Ukraine does comes from the U.S., and they've attempted to assassinate him many times with laughable results. It might as well have been a forklift. But Dugin seems to think, in the Russian press in general, that the more senile Biden becomes, the more likely it is that Trump is going to be murdered. Hence, replacing him may be a necessity, at least for his party. Remember, that's the whole point of a convention. You have a whole month before the convention starts in Chicago. And that's really the purpose of it. It's not necessarily a rubber stamp, anything. But, you know, Dugin in the Russian press seems to think that when the regime tries to kill you, you're probably doing something right. He says, I'm convinced that Trump was attempted to be killed, in this, you know, by strictly the same people and forces that are killing us, meaning Russians. It's one unified terrorist, globalist, left, liberal continuum. And if these bastards kill someone, the victims are on the right side. He also notes the uncanny physiognomic and stylistic resemblance between Crooks and the Russian liberal terrorist Strapova, who murdered Tatarsky. It's one network that went after all of these people that I've mentioned. He mentioned Schwab, Zuckerberg, Harari, Kurzweil. And the deep state. Now, I use the word regime instead of the deep state. Deep state refers to the state itself, meaning government. But the regime is far broader than that. Biden and the people who control him, the BlackRock agenda, is extremely unpopular the world over. He's unpopular in his own party, regardless of their interest in eliminating Trump. And while his movement, the regime that he represents that installed him illegitimately in power, since there's no way he won the presidential election fairly, we know that for a fact. It always made me laugh that when YouTube, which is a Google property, removed the dislike button, they did it for one reason, because people started talking about the fact whenever Biden had something on that network, a speech or a motorcade or anything like that, the dislikes were 10 times, 20 times what the likes were. Hence, no one could have voted for this guy. I always thought that Biden may have gotten 15% if it were fairly counted. And anyone who studies the affidavits on that, election fraud case in 2020. Can't possibly believe that this man was elected. He was unpopular in his own people, as I said back then, considered a conservative Democrat. Trump had the highest approval from non-whites of any Republican in recent memory. So it's not really in recent months that Biden has shown signs of impairment. But that doesn't matter, and I said it at the time. It's inconsequential. Biden doesn't even have to be alive to govern. It could be a Weekend at Bernie's thing that I've been saying for a long time, and his administration would continue. The liberal elite from Europe and beyond, BlackRock especially, the deep state itself. And Biden, although he wasn't always like this, he had a globalist ideology behind him. Being considered a conservative Democrat, he used to be different, but he changed his positions on a dime long before he developed this kind of dementia or whatever it is. He holds little sway in executing the regime's agenda. He is a symbolic representative of globalism, at least in part because he was installed, not elected. Democratic Party, I mean, parties don't mean much. Conventions don't mean much. But in terms of foreign policy, the Democratic Party is the political manifestation of liberalism. Since at least Woodrow Wilson, the two approaches traditionally of the two parties, Democrats prioritize global dominance and the spread of liberalism by force. Republicans prioritize the strengthening of the U.S. as a superpower, even if it risks war with major powers, jeopardizing the U.S. But those aren't conflicting agendas. They're the same goal. Their differences are only nuanced. His support comes from big finance, global media, corporate monopolies. But there is the possibility, of course, that Zelensky, the elections may be canceled, but they need a war for this. Trump could actually, and I've said this the moment he declared his candidacy, he could build an institutional support base, but his temperament is not really conducive to that. He's spontaneous. He relies on his own personal strength, which is a cultural archetype for the U.S. But, of course, it's likely that Biden supporters and the left in general and many Republicans will seek to prevent Trump win at any cost. But that's not saying much. Assassination, imprisonment, riot, civil unrest, coup d'etat, or the escalation of overseas military conflicts, that's all of those are definitely possibilities. We know that there's nothing that they won't do. Now, of course, if somehow, by some miracle, Trump ends up in the White House, the wars that have been going on, that they wouldn't simply end. Election years bring out the stupidity in people. Russia ending the war in Ukraine would be, exceedingly challenging in practice. And of course, his support for Israel is advanced too, is absolutely way beyond Biden. I mean, Netanyahu is an ally, as far as Trump is concerned. His policy, I mean, he had a litany of anti-Russian policies during his presidency, and even harsher for China. Now, to the assassination attempt itself, we're still only a few days away. My first thought is I remembered all of the other assassination attempts. In fact, when my last Orthodox Nationalist, I spoke maybe just for a couple of seconds on this because it was about a half hour after it happened, if that. And I said, well, even if it turns out to be, and I don't think this is the case, even if it turns out to be some, a lone shooter, which I think is almost impossible, the regime has been screaming for this to happen for a very long time. By now, some of us have read the ridiculous security failures from the Secret Service. That entity, that bureaucracy, has a huge turnover rate and has for the last few years at least, and quality has fallen drastically. Kim Cheadle, who actually was assistant director under Donald Trump, until, I think, 2018. Her security experience is minimal. She was Pepsi's head of security for a while. But she said, I don't remember when this was, but it wasn't that long ago. She was, I think, appointed in 21. She will just hire women regardless of qualifications. The other thing to remember about her is that she ran the operations department for a long time. That has no relation to security service. Operations refers to management and HR and budget. Recently, actually not too long before I went on the air here, she claimed that the reason they didn't have a man on that roof, now I've been to several Trump rallies and I see guys on the roof all over the place. It's pretty normal for something like that. I also see drones, helicopters, whatever. The roof was too steep and we put a man in danger if we stationed them up there. Not that it has anything to do with access points, but maybe of all things, the most notable failure was precisely those access points. The explanation so far, and again, this is very preliminary, either it was deliberate or it was incompetence, which would bleed into deliberate because there have to be a reason for that. And similar to incompetence would be the resources assigned were insufficient. There's reason to believe that at least in part, incompetence is a possibility because of the official program of hiring based on race and gender. Deliberately leaving voids or, you know, assigning the B team to Butler would make sense because of the constant calls. If you remember in 2016, the Los Angeles Times called for a military coup if he was elected. The director of the CIA called Trump a traitor to America. The FBI is well known. I mean, these are all politicized entities. And they've gone after supporters of Trump and that whole movement for almost a decade now. Democrats and CNN and everything else, calls for assassination are pretty normal. Or failing that, the implication is if he's going to be this dictator, which in fact, the as always given projection, the Biden regime may just do if they decide to postpone or cancel the election. And if it were successful, they would be celebrating, considering this a good thing, because if you call someone a danger to everything American, which is sort of laughable, then it seems that murdering him would be the next step. It doesn't take a genius to realize, especially for, you know, if you know a schizophrenic, you could probably, especially if you're a professional in this area, bring them to do something crazy. Convince them that this is their God-given mission or something like that. But if it's true, one of this, you know, either deliberate incompetence or design, which I tend to think, it means that they, assuming that Biden isn't replaced, that they really can't pull off the fraud that they tried to do in 2016. And of course, they did to get Biden in. You know, assassination is a huge decision. And of course, as Paul Craig Robertson and a few others have mentioned, they brought up the name Alejandro Mayorkas, who has repeatedly refused requests from that Trump campaign for more security, given the nature of the threats. The press has deliberately created hatred. Back when he was in office, I listed all of the made-up stories, I mean completely invented stories, that Mayorkas is aligned with the invaders to America's South. And Republicans, of course, tried to impeach him, and that failed in the House, actually, for a very obvious reason, and he simply refused to do his job. Of course, Mayorkas is Jewish. Even the Wikipedia article, I'm surprised the Cheadle Wikipedia article is so short. Doesn't even give her birth year. Then after Roberts and Dugin, I went to Michael Hoffman. And again, he notes, as I have, that this is very preliminary. As you know, he's been one of my favorite writers for a long time. And the first thing he says is what I thought too initially, the nose-thumbing of the regime to us. And he mentions at least 4 points. The first one I think we know by now. You're talking about, what, 120, 130 yards from the president. He was visible on the roof. Witnesses very easily saw him up there. The New York Post says that the would-be assassin was spotted by police twice, 26 minutes before he shot Trump. And you have different variations, you know, the tales of a policeman going to the roof, either via a ladder or that, or the policeman getting up there on a ladder, or that he crawled up, hanging on the edge of the roof with both hands, spotted the assassin and couldn't do anything. And it always, it raised my eyebrows to see that he used an AR-15. No one engaged the shooter. AR-15 seems to show up all the time. The left hates that weapon, calling it an assault rifle and things like that. The second point he makes, I think we know, the Secret Service didn't include it within its perimeter buildings and the rooftops. Matthew Thomas Crooks said to have fired shots, one of whom was with their audience, one of whom was killed. They claim to have left this to local law enforcement, but that only begs the question. He does mention, though, and I had not thought of this at the time, the audio, which would normally be classified this early, it's only been a few days, was broadcast, I think, that night, or at least the following evening. The agents could be heard saying that the shooter was down, and, very importantly, that there was no further threat. This was less than a minute. How could they possibly know this? How could they possibly know that there was no further threat, there was no more shooters, there was no other problem? It wasn't a second or third shooter. The only person who could say that is someone who was in on it. Not too long after that, the FBI claimed that he was a lone nut. He had no accomplices. That was less than 24 hours after the crime was committed. As everyone knows, searching for accomplices takes weeks. And Hoffman writes this. He says, the FBI's nearly instantaneous declaration fits a pattern of similar omniscient statements by cops in the media with regard to Lee Harvey Oswald, David Berkowitz, Ted Kaczynski, among many others. Now, the question, of course, is who would be in a position to state this with the omniscience that Hoffman mentions? It's a brazen statement to make. So now there's no investigation as to any accomplices. Only the people involved could make any statement like this. Now, the BlackRock connection is interesting. I haven't come across definitive proof that it's the same kid. They certainly look alike. I know the ad had him in the class on business watching a whiteboard. Now, if it's true it is him, that would be one hell of a coincidence. I've spoken for years on BlackRock, the most powerful entity on the planet now. They keep saying that their assets are $7 trillion. It's much, much more than that. But Hoffman also says that there's a subconscious message. The revelation of the method idea that Hoffman first discovered. Of course, I've been talking about it thanks to him. And maybe it's deliberately sloppy, because it seems to be kind of crude. It doesn't matter if people reading about this come to the conclusion that there is something very wrong with both the event and the story. And let me quote him directly here. I have witnessed this process time and again. 9/11, the tarot card killer. Virginia Tech, 33, the Batman Massacre in Colorado. Necromancy in Parkland. Route 91 Harvest Massacre in Vegas, the slaughter of mostly Hispanic children in Texas. Over and again, the blood-smoking pyramid is propagated, and there is nothing we can do about it. Or at least that's what the cryptocracy wants you to think. To inject our minds with powerlessness and demoralization by granting us a sneak peek at the appalling revelation of their own responsibility. Now, in 2024, we are spectators at a glaring revelation of their conspiracy. The message? Ha, suckers, we don't care if you know. There's nothing you can do about it. And nothing you can do about or power over you and your world. those of you familiar with Hoffman know that that's the core of the revelation of the method. And he says, you know, human imbecility being what it is, and the state of the conspiracy theory movement being more or less an adjunct to the cryptocracy itself, with some honorable exceptions, the revelation of the method has yet to penetrate the national conversation. Those of you who know either me or Hoffman know that the revelation of the method is an old, late 18th century Masonic conception that once their control is total, they could start slowly revealing the nature of this control. And the more they reveal, if nothing is done, then the greater their power. They're in a position of security such that even if they come right out and say, we're running things, and nothing happens, that means that their power is absolutely absolute. And that's extremely significant. These mass murder stories, foreign policy claims, are on their face ridiculous. To have someone actually take seriously the idea that Iran had anything to do with this, it's deliberately mocking your stupidity. And now, of course, this always comes at a risk, but that's exactly what power implies. Of course, it's always a risk. I said years ago, right after the 2008 collapse, these trillions of dollars a taxpayer had to pay to bail these banks out. If nothing is done at that point, then they could do whatever they want. If nothing was done at the lockdowns, which didn't make any sense. They were locking down entire countries that had zero cases before anything was known about this so-called virus. Getting away with that without much of a problem, blatant installation of an extremely unpopular politician, Joe Biden, and continues to get away. There are inherent risks involved in this, and plenty more people have come to these inconvenient realizations. Nothing's really done about it, but these things may well be done deliberately. The next step may be not replacing Joe Biden and yet still faking an election and installing him. That would be very risky, but that would go along with the revelation of the method ideology. Coming right out, you know that this isn't real, and yet there's nothing you're going to do about it. I'm still a bit mystified where Time magazine put together a 9-page article on how they stole the election, giving names and methods and everything, coming right out saying, as we mentioned before, destroying Trump in that process, anything is justifiable, and no one talked about it. The left didn't talk about it. The right, I think a few people who even brought it up, I dedicated a whole show to it. I don't think it's correct in many places. But Time magazine, one of the regime pillars, came out and said, we rigged this election. And no one seemed to notice. That's what the revelation of the method is. The very fact that no one remembers the previous assassination attempts. God knows how many threats that he receives in public. But it was the Russians. It was the Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, saying that the atmosphere of hatred centered around Trump by the Biden, he said the Biden regime, but he really meant the regime as a whole, has led to all of this. He said, after numerous attempts to remove Trump from the political arena with the help of legal tools, courts, the prosecution, attempts to politically discredit and compromise the candidate, it was clear to all outside observers that his life was in danger. Well, it doesn't take a genius to come to that conclusion. Trump said that we will not fear, but instead remain resilient in our faith and defiant in the faith of wickedness. Well, that's a good thing. I wish he would include the Israelis in that. But the real fight is indeed against evil. Evil that has been imposed on us with violence, consistently. Their absolute control of every institution of note in American life. Paul Craig Roberts also kind of smirked the notion that Bill Clinton, George W., Barack Obama, Biden, and a whole bunch of others, getting all these ex-presidents together, by the way, is very, other politicians, I mean, getting them all together is very difficult. And they all said, using the exact same phrases, thanking the Secret Service for their swift intervention. And that was before they knew anything about what was going on. We're still in a position where, you know, we know bits and pieces. Five presidents, including Trump himself, to issue thanks to the Secret Service. Thanks that in no way is justified. That took organization. That took some planning, especially since they used many of the same terms. That implies, of course, pre-planning. I didn't like Trump's, I know that was very early, but his congratulations of the Secret Service, even though this whole thing was a failure of theirs at a minimum. But an assassin, clearly, in clear view of the Secret Service, fires a bunch of rounds, kills one person, dangerously injures a couple of others, standing behind Donald Trump, and barely misses killing Trump by a headshot, quarter of an inch. Only when the guy finishes firing do they intervene. And that has, not even talking about their utter failure to cut off clear shots in the area. So how can the Secret Service, I mean, total failure to protect a candidate and former president, how do they get congratulations for anything? The only reason that this fails is that he turned his head. That's how you know this wasn't something that was done to exemplify Trump. It was meant to kill him. Once the Secret Service saw that he was on the ground, he was believed to have been hit in the head very, very early on. That's when it was time to eliminate. Kind of like what happened to Oswald, the shooter before he could say anything. That's one of the biggest questions here, but we're never going to get the answer. Certainly the unsecured buildings is no doubt about it. This alleged dispute between the Secret Service and the local, when I say local police, I think they mean state troopers, neglecting excellent shooting positions, claiming that's the responsibility of the state troopers. Many of you who have been to Trump rallies know that this is almost inconceivable. The troopers say that they're secondary. They're ordered around by the Secret Service. They're the ones who are in charge, not the cops. The assassin's near, totally unencumbered access to perfect spots for an assassination. And then they get out and they praise this clearly ailing institution. But unifying America, as Trump implied, is absolutely impossible. A huge portion of it is dedicated to its destruction, Trump's destruction, open borders, every kind of sexual perversion. There is no compromise here. Unity is not a good thing in this case. The raised fists, blood running down, the fight, fight, fight thing. How does that imply unifying the country, as Trump himself has said? I tend to think, with Roberts and many others, that we're at a point now, despite how early it is, we're not going to know much more. The tendency for the regime is to, it takes a little while for them to get their story straight. That happened in Vegas, for example. I covered that more than I have a lot of other things. But the more time passes, the less we're going to know, because this is where official narratives are constructed, which automatically, like the claim that there were no other shooters or there's no accomplices, cuts off avenues for investigation. Of course, that's done on purpose. They muddy the waters. Everyone's calling for investigations, but we know their track record from the Warren Commission to 9/11. If there is an investigation, nothing will come of it. Any further information that implicates the regime, the reporter simply won't cover it. Yes, diversity, inclusion, that's a part of this. Straight from Cheadle's mouth herself, Biden has not made a single appointment based on ability, race, gender, sexual preference, and that's going to come out as the years wear on. Secret Service agents themselves have complained about this. And of course, she's not going to resign. Head of Homeland Security won't resign. But of course, this is nothing new. This kid was carrying a rifle, appearing in an area heavily armed and protected, climbs on a building, clear shot, and not be accosted. At first, the regime was saying that the buildings were not included in that zone, but we're also told that the building with the assassin on top was occupied by a policeman or Secret Service force. And that could only mean one thing. Secret Service had to have been involved in assassinations in the past, whether it be JFK or RFK. But to think that any unity could come out of this, as Trump says, is an absolute fantasy. Unity is not a good thing. Truth is inherently divisive. To the extent that it's even possible, let's say that he gets an office, which I am not convinced of as of right now. His only job is to root out the evil in liberal left hands that have turned the USA into a third world state. They're going to make his actions, as they did after 2016, his governing almost impossible. But of course, if he is elected the second time around, he's certainly far more knowledgeable and far more experienced than he was at the beginning of 2017. You never know what may happen, because there is a reason that the regime is so hysterical in trying to kill him. Again, I don't think that this assassination attempt gains him any sympathy. I think the debate did. And the fact that this occurred right after the debate is no coincidence. I've gone way over time. So I want to thank you for bearing with me. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.